to the Drive Along podcast, where in each episode I interview a guest uniquely involved in the car culture universe.
If you've watched the car or motorcycle race, either live or on television, you've seen a combination of hundreds of components coming together in what appears to be a seamless manner to provide an incredible spectacle. My guest for this episode is one of the hundreds of people behind the scenes at NASCAR that contribute to the high quality of racing entertainment we as fans have come to expect. Today on Drive Along, my guest is Rob Russell, who's the director of corporate sales for the NASCAR North region, which basically consists of Watkins Glen Racetrack and in northern New York State and Michigan International Speedway outside, well, 70 miles outside Detroit. Rob's passion for motorsports started at an early age. We're going to get into that a little bit with the interview and learn a little bit more about someone who represents two of the most iconic tracks known to the world of NASCAR. Rob, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Ron. It's an honor to be joining you today.
Oh, my pleasure. Truly, my pleasure. So I just touched on in the introduction, but much like myself, you identify yourself as a car guy. Well, how'd that happen?
Yeah, you know, I really don't know. You know, at an early age, I had the Matchbox cars, and you know, always was fascinated by cars. My father had a Corvette at an early age, and was just, I remember, you know, going for drives with him and just really going to car shows. Mm-hmm. And over the years, that just kind of, you know, evolved. You know, when I was 15 years old, I started looking for my first car, Corvettes, Mustangs, Camaros, and my father and I settled on a Ford Mustang, and it's been great. And what's great about the car culture is, you know, is you meet a lot of great people, and some of the best relationships, you know, in my life have become from a relationship, you know, surrounding a car. And that passion kind of took me to my career today. When I was in high school and college, not sure what I really wanted to do, and you know, took a sport marketing class, and you know, been to many NASCAR events at Watkins Glen and sports car races, and realized, hey, how fun it would be to work at a racetrack, and that's kind of led me to the position I'm in today. So very, very fortunate for the car community. Driven a lot of fast cars, worked on a lot of fast cars, and been a lot of fun.
Well, that's a wonderful encapsulation of where you began and where you are today. I got to tell you, there aren't too many 16-year-olds to get a Mustang as a first car.
Yeah. Well, it was, you know, I started saving up when I was 13, 14 years old. Every weekend in the summertime, my father would go out and look at used cars. And one day we were driving by a used car lot. We saw a 1995 Mustang. It was a V6 automatic, you know, nothing special. And I was like, Dad, I really wanted the GT, the V8. And he goes like, if you buy the GT or V8, you'll kill yourself. He's like, this is a great car to learn how to drive, great car to work on. And he was right. So I had that for a few years, met a lot of people in the Mustang community. And then a few years later, I bought a 97 Mustang GT. And great story about that car is when my wife and I bought our first house 7 or 8 years ago, I sold the car because needed the money for the house. The fall before that, I was just playing around on Facebook Marketplace looking for Mustangs or cars or something. And the car that I sold, the identical car, people I sold to posted it for sale. So I was able to buy it back and gave it to my wife. So it's good to have my exact car back in the family. You know, I spent a lot of time when I was, you know, in college working on it, making it quicker and faster, suspension brakes, cylinder heads. So it's great to have that car back in the garage.
Oh, that's a heck of a story. So the car that you built up through college, did the work on, being a responsible husband, got rid of the car only to be able to boomerang right back and have it back. And now your lovely wife's driving it.
Yep. And then eventually my wife and I had a son about 7 months ago. His name's Cooper. I'm trying to get him in the car community. Everything around him is celebrated with car stuff in his room, but you know, eventually they'll be his car if he wants it. It's that car will be in the family forever.
Awesome. Awesome. It's a classic. You'll have to bring it up to one of our car shows.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll have to convince my dad to bring his Boss 302 Mustang as well.
So. Oh, yes, please. So the challenge, what's been your biggest win or loss in the time you've been involved with motorsports and racing and cars? Is one thing that is just like, oh, this is just the most amazing moment, or on the other side, the one that got away?
Yeah, that's a great question, Ron. I think the biggest win is relationship building. It's cool to get to know partners on a personal level and to take them and help take their business to the next level through all the assets that Watkins Glen, Michigan, and NASCAR, you know, has to offer. You know, a lot of our clients at Watkins Glen specifically are regional based and are looking for, you know, national, international exposure. But, you know, one relationship I'm really proud of is working with Joe Salen's packing company out of Buffalo, New York. They do hot dogs, deli meats, and mm-hmm. Joe is very passionate about Watkins Glen. He's been a partner for 20 plus years. And the cool thing about Joe is he used to race professionally. Now he races, you know, an amateur series such as Champ Car and AER. And I actually race against Joe in Champ Car, which is a lot of fun because, you know, we get to talk racing and then talk business. It's just a really great connection. And the coolest moment for Joe and myself was we went to the Rolex 24 a few years ago, and him and I sat and watched one of the support races, kind of like a father and son moment. So to me, that relationship, that moment was pretty special to me.
That is a unique relationship with a client sponsor. So you're actually on track with them at some point in a race series.
Yes, yes. At first, I used to pull over for him because his cars are really well dialed in. Preparation and racing is key. You know, I'm running this old Honda, which is fun. And the coolest thing about that is I'm having just as much as fun as him. So, but I used to pull over. I'm like, wow, he's going to pass me anyway. So when I see that, you know, black and red Salen's Porsche, you know, come my mirror, I always just make sure that pass is clean because I don't want to come up in a sponsorship meeting how I raced him dirty. But it's so much fun, and he's always giving me advice on how to do, you know, set the car up or take a turn differently. So it's really fun to share that passion with the client, which is just pretty rare these days. Mm-hmm. But to another part of the question is the biggest win too is during the event weekends when the grandstands are packed, partners are happy, and you're part of this event bigger than yourself. It's a pretty cool moment to be part of all the events that we post, you know, that we put on in Watkins Glen, Michigan, and then NASCAR as a whole.
Absolutely. I've had the privilege of seeing, well, many different kinds of races through my career, my life at the Glen, but certainly, you know, the NASCAR, the Cup races, and the Busch races are just, they are a phenomenon. The stands are full. The fields are full. People are just so enthusiastic about it. Many decades in as a car guy, I actually saw a Formula One race at the Glen.
Yeah, that'd be, if I can go back in time, that would something to be in my bucket list to see. You know, because I've seen a lot of pictures, you know, seen some videos, but to go back and be in the crowd, that would be a bucket list item if I could ever do that. But unfortunately, I don't have a DeLorean to take me back in time.
I might want something more reliable than a DeLorean too. Yeah, I agree, and I think all of us have one or two of those that if only there was a time machine just to take us back for half an hour to experience some of those types of events. It's just, but we can't. So we live in the day.
And to answer that question too, around the challenge, I think the biggest thing would have to be the pandemic. You know, we didn't have any events in 2020. In 2021, we were slow to get back. But that was such a challenging year, not just, I mean, for everybody, no matter what industry you're in, and no matter where you were in the world. That was the biggest challenge. I mean, we were working on contingency plans. You know, we had A, B, C, D, C. And, at one point we were afraid of, you know, 2020, nothing happened, but in 2021, when things started open back up, we still had all these contingency plans. At one point, we weren't sure if we were going to have fans in the stands or, you know, what that held, but it was just a very tough situation for me. I've been to every NASCAR race at Watkins Glen since the mid-90s with my dad or then working, and sitting home that second weekend of August and not being in the track was just, it was depressing. And I'm sure it was depressing for all of our fans and clients, but you know, thankfully, you know, our fans are awesome. Our partners are awesome, and they were very understanding, and we were able to make things work for 21 and in the future. So mm-hmm. that was difficult, not having cars on track. Me personally not racing, that was a bummer. But mm-hmm. we're getting a better place now.
We certainly are, and certainly the figures of fans at the tracks this year are way up.
And we saw our seventh consecutive grandstand sell at Watkins Glen, minus the year we didn't have the race. Our camping crowd is resilient. I think that just speaks for the passion of motorsports. Motorsports is getting, I think it's getting a bigger view in the United States. I think Formula One's doing a great job with their docuseries and covering more races than NASCAR overall. I mean, NASCAR is the number one motorsports consumption in the United States through all the national series. The Cup Series is doing a great job with that new car. I mean, they've had numerous amount of winners, record year, having an unbelievable schedule. I mean, next year we're going to go to North Wilkesboro, a track we haven't raced in 20 plus years. Mm-hmm. We're going to race in the streets of Chicago, something that's never been done in a NASCAR points race before. So just being innovative with the schedule of the car. And the biggest thing is a lot more eyes on the sport, new ownership groups. Michael Jordan owns a team with Denny Hamlin, owns a team with Trackhouse Racing, with Justin Marks. So, a lot of great things around the sport of NASCAR and then with more sports in general right now.
Totally agree. It's interesting you mentioned Formula One, and appropriately, because they just did the big launch for their third race, I guess, next year, which will be in Las Vegas. So if I can read what you're saying, you don't think that's a negative to NASCAR, but more a positive to motorsports?
I think so. It gets more people interested in motorsports, and that's what's we're all about. Yeah, I mean, selfishly want, more eyes on NASCAR, but I mean, NASCAR's been the number one motorsports event in the country, and I think that'll continue to grow just because of all the events we have to offer and the different series. So, but I think it's great that more sports are having eyes on it. It's better for everybody.
That's good. I think most of the people I've talked to have thought the exact same way. So it's good for the sport.
Yeah. I mean, you have to think who are they going to be the caretakers of the sports, and who's going to be the next group of fans. So the more people introduced now, the longevity. I mean, this is a sport that I'm passionate about, and you're passionate about, and all the listeners are passionate about. So, how do we keep growing motorsports?
Now, we touched on it a little bit, but as director of sales for the North region for NASCAR, including obviously or primarily with regards to Watkins Glen and Michigan Speedway, I don't know, what does a week in the life of Rob look like?
Yeah, every day is different, which is great. Right now in the fall time, we're working with our current clients, talking to new clients, trying to get, 2023 ready. And then right around Thanksgiving, Christmas time, New Year's, the industry kind of shuts itself off just because, we don't really get to take a lot of vacation time. Well, I don't take a lot of vacation time during the summer months because obviously we're busy. So, and that's how the industry is. So from a couple weeks from now till the new year, it gets quiet. And then, first of the year, people get excited. Cars on track with 24 hours of Daytona, Daytona 500, the Busch Light Clash in LA. So we start picking up the pace then and getting things ready. I mean, all of our events are planned, a year in advance. We try to make those better every day. And then right around the, May, June timeframe, we kind of hop into event execution mode, making sure all of our partners' assets are ready in terms of signage installed. They have their tickets and suite passes, hospitality areas are set up, digital media, anything that we have to offer, make sure those assets are being fulfilled by the client. And then we hop into events. Our event schedule is pretty busy at Watkins Glen with the Sailing 6 Hours of the Glen, the Go Bowling at the Glen NASCAR event weekend, the Finger Lakes Wine Festival, then the Vintage Race in September, along with the events at Michigan, and then the other NASCAR events we support throughout the year. So get to talk to a lot of people, interact with a lot of cool clients and partners and fans, and just every day is different. I have my to-do list that I like to knock out, but things pop up which make it interesting for sure.
It's interesting you say you basically don't get time off during the summer, so understand that's high season. So if I'm correct in what you just said, there are four major events at Watkins Glen throughout the course of the year?
Yep. Yeah, exactly right. So, our season is like a baseball season, April till October. You know, when we're not having major events at Watkins Glen, our track is run every day by BMW, Porsche, Ferrari, amateur racing series such as AER and Champ Car. And then we have those kind of four or five, you know, pillar events. So the Sailing 6 Hours of the Glen, the IMSA Sports Car Series. So the world's leading manufacturers in sports car racing, you know, Ferrari, Porsche, BMW, Corvette, so on and so forth, you know, racing a 6 hour endurance format. We also have, you know, three or four support races through that event weekend. If you're a car enthusiast, it's a great weekend. You can get, you know, really close to the cars. All our grandstands are open to sit in. It's just a really great family weekend. Mr. Salem, he grills hot dogs out for the fans and we give them away. So it's a great weekend. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, we completely transform the facility and have the Finger Lakes Wine Festival. So we bring in 90 New York State wineries.
90,
yeah. Totally flip the demographics and really utilize the facility. I mean, we are in wine country, so it's a great way to celebrate the region and then bring in a different demographic to the facility. And then 2 or 3 weeks later, you know, we have our NASCAR event, the biggest event on our calendar, you know, 100,000 plus people do that event weekend. And then almost a month later, we have our U.S. Vintage Grand Prix, the Hilliard U.S. Vintage Grand Prix. And that's a great way to kind of cap off the season. One of the largest vintage events on the East Coast. Kind of a quick history lesson. You know, the racing started in the village of Watkins Glen in the late 40s to race tourism. And then they realized racing on public roads was unsafe, you know, obviously. So they built the permanent facility, which, you know, here today. But we'll take, you know, 40 or 50 cars racing in that vintage Grand Prix weekend, and we'll bring them into the village and do a race reenactment around the original 6.5 mile circuit, which is pretty cool. It's controlled. We have, you know, four or five sheriff's cars and our pace cars. We got very safe measures, but it's cool coming down the hill and just seeing the streets lined with people behind hay bales. And, you know, there's an old Trans Am, you know, car behind me and an old Formula One car. And, you know, it's pretty cool.
That would be awesome to see that. I had no idea. I had no idea
the reenactment. That reenactment's free to the public. So it's a great, great event weekend. And every year we select a different car to celebrate. So this past year was Mustang, which is pretty cool because I'm a Mustang guy. And the next year will be Corvette. So just a really, really great event weekend.
It's also interesting you say that the track's basically busy through the week, just about every day with different interest groups and clubs, et cetera.
Yeah, it makes it interesting, you know, for sure. It keeps the economy in the area going well, and it's pretty cool to see different cars at the racetrack. But yeah, we're pretty busy. And touching back on the event weekends, we actually have a schedule called a minute-by-minute schedule where every minute of the day is booked. So at this time, we're doing signage. This time, we're taking partners here. This time, we're doing that. So, you know, we have several meetings throughout the year, but it's just, you know, attention to detail when you put on these massive events. But it's a lot of fun. Your adrenaline's pumping the whole event weekend, and it's just a lot of fun. And just trying to, you know, make sure everyone has a great time. And an issue pops up, you just try and react to it in a calm manner. But it's a lot of fun.
Certain testament to a minute by minute, because I've been to the Cup race at the Glen and others over the years, and they are incredibly well oiled machine, a very, very smooth running weekend.
Yeah, it goes to planning and then people. I mean, this industry couldn't happen without people, and we have a great team at the Glen as well as Michigan. My colleagues are just they're like family. They're awesome to work with, and you know, we look out for one another. So, you know, it takes a small army to put on these events, and we got some of the greatest people in motorsports, you know, in the NASCAR industry.
Mm-hmm. Funny, I've a personal story about the Glen. I taught there a couple different times with the Mustang Club. And this one gentleman, track worker, and has probably been there since the Glen opened. And it was early morning. And of course, you are in wine country in the Finger Lakes area. And it can get a little foggy, a little dewy first thing in the day. And so during the driver meeting, this gentleman stood up and said, the grass is got a heavy dew on it. If you leave the track, you will accelerate. It's just, everyone looks at each other. No, once you're off the track, you're decelerating. No, it's so slick.
First thing in the morning, that he was adamant that you will accelerate. So just
Yes.
funny story about someone there at the Glen, and everyone looking out for everyone, even at that level.
Yeah, it's I've heard that several times. I mean, I've in my personal amateur racing career, I've tested Watkins Glen several times. And one time, I mean, I live 5 minutes from the racetrack. And it's clear and sunny here at my house, and then I get a quarter mile from the racetrack, and you're on top of the mountain. It's just fog, and we spent all day in the garage, and maybe got 3 or 4 laps in the first day. And it was just not the great experience, but yeah, it's weather's different here, but it's a great track to run on and watch events too. But yeah, it gets slick. You're not slowed down when you hit grass. You go faster. So I've unfortunately experienced that a few times in my amateur career, but it's learning experience for sure.
Oh, we all have. We all have. In that you're, around these incredible races, series, drivers, teams. Anything over the years that just struck you as like funny or off the wall, or Russ just chained using a video game to win at Martinsville? Anything like that?
Yeah, that was a great move. It's you think back, you try and think of all these, great moments. With the teams, I don't interact with too much because, they're there to do their job, and I respect that just because, it's a lot of pressure to race in, a sport, in a major event, and there's a lot of details. But it's pretty cool to be around those moments. A couple years ago, I was at a luncheon. I sat next to Richard Petty. I mean,
Oh, wow.
how cool is that? Him and I were just cutting up, laughing, telling stories, joking around. I'm like, I'm sitting next to Richard Petty. That was pretty cool. I spoke with Dale Earnhardt Jr. a few times briefly. Boris said an awesome road racing guy. Him and I talked, several times, when he's up at Watkins Glen. So it's just really cool that to get to talk to these drivers, and I think much more so is, learning about, their racing experience, because I'm just so into that. But no off the wall moments. I think I take that back. There was one time, I think about 10 years ago, I helped the team with signage, and we have these 4 foot by 8 foot banners around the track. There's probably 100 of them. And in the past, we used to use a staple gun, very archaic, go out at 6 in the morning, staple up these banners to a wooden board, and the race starts, and I'm watching the broadcast feed, make sure all the signage is in place. And right in the camera shop, there's a banner just flapping down. I'm like, oh no, what are we gonna do? So I was like, all right, well, I'll fix it during a caution. And it wasn't, I mean, there's a chain link fence, grass area, the signs are in the guardrail. So I wasn't gonna be rolling out on the track or anything like that. But I asked the guy at the time in charge of safety, he's like, I wouldn't advise that, but just do it quickly. So I get a step ladder, and there's a general admission area, so there's a bunch of fans there. And I have a security guard go with me just in case. And I'm like, all right, there'll be a caution soon. Well, the race gets a third of the way in, and there's still not a caution. And then finally, lap 40 comes out. Caution comes out. I hop the fence. I'm running down this hill, the staple gun, go up, fix the banner, go back, run up, go to hop the fence. My foot get caught, and my pants get caught on the fence.
Oh no.
Oh no. So luckily, no one saw what happened. All these fans are cheering and laughing and clapping, which was kind of funny. I go back, I change my clothes, and I'm telling my wife the story. She's like, "Well, I'll have to watch, ESPN to see if you made the wall of shame." But I'll offer the sign. But you just crazy things happen all the time. So I can't really do anything off the wall, but I'm sure
That's well,
next time we talk, I'll have some
that was
crazy.
off the wall, it was off the fence. Listen, question. If you could share a drink with anyone, alive or past, in the motorsports world, who would it be and why?
That's a tough question. There's so many legends in the sport, and I thought a little bit about this question for our call today. I have a couple, if that's okay to have a couple. I think Dale Earnhardt would be the top there. I mean, he was the man in black. He started from nothing, and had a lot of challenges in his life, but was able to be a 7-time NASCAR champion. I mean, he was the man, and you know, I idolized him, you know, growing up. And you know, he did a lot of good, you know, outgrowing the sport of NASCAR, but he also did a lot of good outside of the race car. You'll hear stories every now and then about, you know, certain things he did for, you know, for ill children and helping the community. So just a remarkable man, but he'd be somebody I'd love to share a drink with.
I understand. Yeah, I certainly don't disagree with you on that. Same sort of idea, but if you could only have one special car of any type, an exotic car, a race car, an antique, a muscle car in your garage, what would it be? And most importantly, why?
That's a great question. It'd have to be a Di Tommaso Pantera. Interesting car. They're only imported in the States for a couple of years, 71, 74 through the Lincoln Ford dealership. But I have a very personal connection to one. There was a gentleman at an early age I met, and he had one. And I had no idea what it was. I was 10, 11 years old, so I researched it and found out what it was. So I started talking to him. And this gentleman became a very influential person in my life. I'm still talking to him today. And when I was in college, he decided to restore the car. And we ended up building a 533 cubic inch big black Ford for it. 550 horsepower, 550 foot-pounds of torque, just a nice car. You know, the ZF transmission was rebuilt, car was painted. So it was a great car. From the personal side, that's why I like it. And B, it's just a different car. I mean, it's kind of the best of both worlds. It has the Italian design, you know, Ford V8 Rumble. And they're very timeless cars. I mean, you can look at one today and be like, wow, you didn't realize one's from the 70s. And for a while, they're very undervalued. Now they're starting to hit their lick in the marketplace. But just really fun car to work on and go to car shows with. And I remember after he got done restoring it, he let me drive it. He said, hey, just take it around the block. And right before I took off, he leans in the window and goes, if you wreck it, don't bother coming back. So me, 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid, scared as heck, literally driving around the block once, going 20 miles an hour, come back in the drive. He's like, I'm just kidding. He's like, you can go for a little further drive. So I went, you know, two times around the block the next time and came back. But just a great car. I'd love to have one of those in the garage someday.
Completely understandable. It is a brilliant car, a beautiful car. Every time I see one at a show or whatever, I just stop dead. Stop dead to look at. The lines are so perfect. Parting thoughts. Word of advice about motorsports, racing, NASCAR, you know, make sure you buy your tickets for the Glen in Michigan. What are your thoughts?
You know, just be a sponge. If you're into racing and motorsports, be a sponge. You know, be open to meet people. You know, like I said earlier, I've met some of the greatest people in my life because of motorsports, cars, and just, you know, being outgoing. You know, I started racing about 10 years ago, started working on a Ford Pro. We endurance road raced it, and then ended up buying a CRX with one of my good friends. He's my best friend today. But just enjoy the sport. It brings a lot of positive light to a lot of people. And just keep being a positive impact and influence. The more people we can get into more sports, the better we will all be. So I guess that's my biggest words of advice.
It's an excellent word of advice. I couldn't agree more. You just meet great people around cars and around motorsports. There is no question about it. Like you.
Yeah. I got to tell you a quick story before we leave, though.
Sure.
So for the listeners, Ron and I met maybe 10 or 11 years ago at a car show in Canada, and we brought our NASCAR show car to that event weekend. And before we brought the car in, I was trying to do all the customs paperwork, make sure it was in check. You know, going into Canada, no problem. Well, coming back into the States was a different story. So we pull up in a Watkins Glen branded truck, Watkins Glen branded trailer, NASCAR show car in the back. And the Border Patrol officer asks, where are you going? And I say, Watkins Glen, New York. And figured that was a pretty logical answer given the setup I had. And I knew I was in trouble when he said, a lot of people say they're going some places. Doesn't mean they're actually going there. Pull over.
Oh, jeez.
I'm like, uh-oh. So they have me pull over this building. It's a concrete building. And it is like a mix between concrete and the DMV. or I'm sorry, between jail and DMV. I've never been in a jail, but you go in, you got to pick a number, you got to sit down in this room, there's steel chairs, and I wait about an hour, they call me, and they're like, where are you going? And I explain the situation, and basically what came down is they want me to pay a percentage of the value to bring the car back in the States. And I said, well, we don't own it. It's a lease from Toyota. Here's the 47-page contract saying we have the car. I go, it's not worth anything. And we left the States 2 days prior. So it was this big to do. So finally, I pleaded with the Border Patrol person, just come to the trailer. And they came to the trailer and realized it was a NASCAR. And said, oh, okay, have a nice day. That was a 3.5-hour dilemma. And it was just, at the time, I was like, I'm never going home. I'm never going to see my wife again. I'm never going to go back to work. I've got this truck and trailer in Canada. I'm stuck at the border. But it was, it made for an interesting story for sure.
Until he actually looked at it and went, yeah, that's the M&M's race car.
Yep, exactly.
Well, we apologize for your border.
Yeah.
Our border was nice to you. So that's not always the case.
No.
I've had a similar
experience. Next time we bring a car up, I'll make sure I have, the more documentation than I needed. So
always. Well, Rob, this has been great. Thank you very much for your time. This is going to make a great interview podcast. You know, all the best to you and your wife and your little one, and work on that race car through the winter, and we'll see you out on track next spring.
Sounds good. Look for that bright orange Mustang. It's going to be a completely new build for this year from the ground up, so I'm super excited about it. But again, it was a pleasure, Ron. Thank you so much for the time, and we'll have to get together again soon.
Okay, great, Rob. Thank you.
Thank you.